Let's talk about the F word.
Finale of Snap Pod Season 1.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the season finale of Snapped Season 1. As usual, I'm your host Paul.
And I'm Pete.
And this is your weekly dissection of music's greatest hits, hidden gems, and cultural resets. Each week, we dive deep into a different album to try and convince you that they truly snapped. And this week, we're feeling a bit nostalgic.
In the future.
Exactly. Yes, this week we are covering Dua Lipa's second studio album, Future Nostalgia, released on the 27th of March, 2020 by Warner Records.
So, there's a woman that you know as Dua Lipa. Huh?
Her name's Dua Lipa.
Yeah.
But you call her Dua Lipa.
Dua Lipa.
Her name's Dua Lipa, but you call her Dua Lipa.
Dua Lipa, I'm sorry. Well, apparently her real name is Dua Lipa.
Dua Lipa.
Speaking on the album, she said, "I wanted to make something that felt nostalgic, but had something fresh and futuristic about it too." On the 1st of December 2019, Lipa revealed the album title through a tattoo on her left bicep, similar to how Gaga revealed the album title of Art Pop.
Yes, and Lipa originally intended to call the album Glass House and included this within a lyric in the song Future Nostalgia, where she says, "Can't be a rolling stone if you live in a glass house."
Ooh, cool.
I kind of like the name. I like the name Glass House. I don't prefer it to Future Nostalgia, but before we get into it too much, I think it kind of does sum up some of the feelings about how she wanted to push out of, you know, the boundaries of what pop can be and really push it forward. So yeah, I do like it, but Future Nostalgia is better for me.
Also kind of similar to her as a woman in the industry, like talking about the glass ceiling.
Yeah, she wanted to smash right through it. I just think that's what she does go on to do. So it's a good mission statement to set out.
She enlisted writers and producers in order to create a nostalgic pop and disco record with influences from dance pop and electronic music, inspired by artists such as Madonna and Gwen Stefani, which is exactly what we want to hear.
Yes, give us some more Madonna. No, blessed. Yes, and in late March 2020, unfortunately, the entire album leaked and the release was brought forward by a week to the 27th of March 2020. Really unfortunately, Dua goes on Instagram Live to reveal that the album has been leaked and has been pushed forward.
What I'm going to do is, instead of my album coming out April 3rd, my album is actually coming out this Friday, March 27th, which I'm really excited about. And I am really happy it's coming out. And I'm really excited for you all to hear it. And, you know, make of it what you will.
It's really sad to see. She's so emotional. She's really crying on the video, saying she's not even sure she should put out the album, because I guess we'll all be too familiar to know that this is the very start of the COVID-19 pandemic, and Dua thought it was kind of weird to release such celebratory music and such happy music in a time when, you know, everything was so uncertain and so scary. She obviously did go on to release the album, and it became, to a lot of people, the soundtrack for lockdown.
Upon its release, Future Nostalgia received widespread acclaim from music critics, many of whom praised the production and its cohesiveness as an album. Commercially, the album topped the charts in 9 different countries. In the UK, it peaked atop the UK album charts for 4 non-consecutive weeks, becoming her first album to do this. It also reached the top spot in Australia, Ireland, and New Zealand, and the top 5 in Belgium, Germany, and the United States.
That's right, it definitely is a roaring success for her. It does so well all around the world, and it kind of is that soundtrack of lockdown for me, because as you can tell by those stats, it was just absolutely everywhere upon its release.
And of course, we'll have to go into our favourite thing to discuss, which is the album cover itself.
And it is a stunning homage to Penelope Pitstop, with her in the pink outfit sitting in the car.
Oh, and here's the lovely Penelope Pitstop, the glamour gal of the gas pedal.
In front of the moon, she's sitting in like a retro futuristic car in a pink front tie crop top, while confidently showing off her two-tone ombre bleached blonde hair. And the back cover is her with her legs up serving camp. She's escaping from the moon almost.
Do you think it's kind of like her trying to keep the night going? Like, she doesn't want to go to sleep. Yeah, she's just like driving on into the next party.
Yeah, she's like constantly chasing the next event. Yeah, I think she's trying to get away from having to go to bed in the sun rising. She's constantly chasing the moonlight. And I think the moon is such an image for like a disco ball as well. They're very similar. So yeah, it's kind of like that disco infused theme that she's trying to put into this album. And again, even just having a retro kind of car in there, it all leads into that imagery of giving some nostalgia, but she's always driving forward into the future as well. I think it's so cool. It's so much better than her first album cover, which is just her face, which works well for the album that's called Dua Lipa, but this has a really particular point of view for me and definitely sets up what we're going to get into.
I really love the cover image, and we actually have an amazing picture disc version gifted by fan of the pod, Jordan, who purchased it completely of his own volition, and it's one of my favorite vinyls that I have.
But before we get too far into the album, let's hook you up with some exciting adverts.
Granny, I got the drugs.
Oh, I'm not that kind of woman. Ta, love.
Granny, don't you want to be good in bed? It feels like you're levitating without the fear of the baby.
Ooh, yes, hon. I want to be cool. What drugs have you got?
Granny, it's a new big thing on the streets. LSD stands for Let's Dream Dua.
Freeze. Granny could have died here. Drugs are not cool. Don't start now. LSD is not an actual drug, it's a way of life. Side effects include breaking COVID rules and crying on Instagram Live. Exercise caution, pretty please.
Now that we're on our come down from our LSD, let's drive right on over to the first single from the Future Nostalgia era.
Yes, Paul. So the first single of Future Nostalgia is Don't Start Now.
Bop, 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 bop.
Well, look how she ate that.
Released on the 31st of October 2019 as the lead single from the album, it received positive reviews from critics and it was a commercial success, becoming her 7th top 10 entry on the UK singles chart and her 3rd top 40 entry on the US Billboard Hot 100, peaking at number 2 on both. And for me, personally, just as an aside, I really didn't like this first single. It really didn't click with me. And I liked her first album, but I wasn't like a little Lipa at that point. So it was strange to see how well it was performing when I personally didn't like it. But that's just me being the main character. But now, of course, I do like it.
Yeah, it was maybe just like, it was out on Halloween. It was a bit spooky for you. You just didn't really know what to think.
Yeah, Halloween is a bit spooky for me.
Oh. No. I think it's so good. For me, like, when I listened to it for the first time, I was like, oh, she's doing it. Like, not Dua, she's doing it. I really loved Harder Than Hell from her first album. I think New Rules is extremely overplayed, but it's a really good song. I don't really like I Don't Give a Fuck, but there are some really good songs on there. This was, like, had a clear point of view for me and was really, like, focused on becoming a main pop girl. Like, for me, this is where she becomes a star. And the song is brilliant.
Lipa herself felt that the release of the song was a natural choice that would allow her to start a new chapter in her life and chose it to be the lead single. And I do think that it does fit that brief. It is considered to be the beginning of a revival for disco music in 2020 as down-tempo, urban-style music previously dominated mainstream music. And I do agree with this, similarly to how Taylor was the touchstone for changing the tone from this era. I think before Folklore, we were really in a disco sort of 70s, 80s vibe that wouldn't go away until Folklore changed the tempo.
100%, yeah. Like, this is the turning point. And we get albums like Chromatica soon after that does kind of have the same sort of throwback feel.
Even After Hours by The Weeknd, they all were coming out with the same sort of vibe. Not copying, but I think it was just something in the air.
Very that, yeah. And I even... A lot of Lizzo's new songs on her album Special have the same sort of 80s inspired theme. I think Stranger Things has a lot to play in that coming back as well, bringing it into the mainstream. But Dua, for me, was the first person who really revived it in pop music in the modern day.
The music video for this single isn't exactly plot heavy. It's sort of shot point of view with you on a night out with high angles showing Lipa and her friends dancing in a crowded nightclub and a masquerade ball. I don't really understand the plot, really, but I think we're just having a good time with the girls and not starting now.
Right, but then the music video starts with her, like, shoving us to the ground, and then there's, like, a 4 hours earlier reveal backwards. So there's like the tease of a concept there. Part of me thought it was supposed to be like, we're trying to get back with her after breaking up with her, and she's been like, nah, don't start now, I'm, you know, on my way to a new man. And I think that's what I really like about the song specifically, is like the song is all about getting past your ex-boyfriend and going into your next era. And I think that's why it's a really good first single too, because it's like saying goodbye to the Dua Lipa album and like where she's going next. But the music video is a bit forgettable. Like they have those portraits that move eyes, kind of like in Harry Potter. Like I feel like they could have just got Dawn French to be the fat lady in this.
I feel like the shove was a little bit homophobic.
Oh no, she said the F word and didn't abbreviate. She said F-A-G. Oh, here we go. Nah, it's homophobic for sure.
What'd you say?
Queen.
But after shoving the gays, she picked us back up with a bop called Physical, which is the second single released on the 31st of January 2020.
And what a legendary single this is.
You know, songs like that, they are stories that people can identify with. Children were singing this song at graduations, at weddings, at funerals.
And yet it's so legendary, it reached the top 40 in most countries it's charted in, and even peaked at number 3 here in the UK, which I think is really surprising. I think it did better than Don't Start Now. I would have assumed it went number 1 versus Don't Start Now that went number 2.
And it feels like there was just something in the air about this, because this was our last like moments of happiness before 2020 slammed shut.
Right, Joe was like, let's get physical, and then the UK government was like, stop, don't get physical, social distance and take several steps back. So literally, it has the same sort of like injection of pop that Into You by Ariana Grande has as well. We talked about that before. It's like, it's infectious. I will listen to this song at any point in time and really enjoy it, want to go and have a dance. It always picks me up.
I would say it's definitely my favorite Dua Lipa song. Ooh. Like, for sure.
But what is actually really good is the music video, which is inspired by the 1983 film Flashdance. It's a really high concept music video, which is based on a Venn diagram by a duo of Swish artists, series of work, Order and Cleanliness.
I remember we were watching it and we were very confused why different people have different animals on their top, and then duo comes down like, I don't know, Noah's Ark or something, and makes them all collaborate.
I thought it was like that episode in Glee where they're wearing like names across them to describe what they are. So it's like gay boy, or like Dana Agron's like queer. And I'm like, come on, Taylor. Fat. Bad eyebrows. Well, they're not all mine. But, like... but yeah, it's really, really good music video. It's very colorful. Like it's kind of, I love the bit where she like rips out the guy's heart and then it's like all anime inspired, and then she's like spinning in the roller rink so fast, and like they're barely holding on to their relationship. I think it's just so beautiful and has the same tempo as the song. Like it really builds. It's so good.
For sure.
And the critics seem to agree. The video received 3 nominations at the 2020 MTV VMAs, ultimately winning 1 for Best Visual Effects, marking the first of Dua's career. And Physical was also further promoted with the release of a 1980s Jane Fonda-esque workout video in which Dua is the aerobics class instructor. Now that's camp for me. That's really, really clever.
I know, I love that there are the two visuals, because I think the roller skating in a circle facing her lover in the music video, the first music video, is so iconic that it couldn't be beaten. But I think this is a really good lean into where the sound is going and giving the gays what they want.
Gonna give the gays everything they want.
The one thing Dua won't stop giving us is singles, because we have a long list to get through. So let's start with the third single on the 25th of March 2020. We're now in the pandemic era. The music video features 1990s influenced slide clips that see Lipa in numerous situations, going from vulnerable to empowered after she falls for someone who's pulling away from her. Some of these situations include running through a traffic jam block, dancing in a club, and dancing at the end of a broken plane. This was Windows PowerPoint transitions download for sure. It's like anytime she does one thing, then we're falling into another universe. I think she created the multiverse in this from having her heart broken.
This is definitely the multiverse of sadness. Like she just is like going through it. And yeah, I definitely feel like in the pitch for this, someone pulled out like Adobe After Effects and were like, we know how to swirl this girl into a different pose. And they're like, yep, 20 of those, please. It's good.
I think it's a strange third single. I think there's a lot more radio friendly, boppy, high energy songs on the album that I would naturally have thought would come first. I think of Hallucinate, I think of Levitating much earlier on than Break My Heart, coming right after Physical. It is a change of pace, for sure.
And definitely not one that I think is a really strong idea. She kind of even moves away from it towards Hallucinate very quickly. Hallucinate is actually released as the fourth single, which impacted radio on the 17th of July 2020. It's co-written by S.J. Lewis, who doesn't know how to make a bad song. Literally incredible. Yeah, king of pop. And it received positive reviews for its production while only commercially reaching number 31 on the UK singles chart, which is so strange to me. Like, the first two singles do so well and then she kind of falls away, even though the hype, I feel, continues in the background around how good this is.
That is strange.
But maybe in the pandemic era, people weren't really picking up new songs, or I think it already had done really well when the album came out, so people weren't then buying it because they already bought it when, you know, the album came out in the first instance. But despite all of this, Hallucinate was actually the most streamed album track from the album upon its release. It's a disco house song with dance pop, electronic swing, psychedelic and synth pop elements, and it is set to EDM rhythms and retro beats, with lyrics describing how crazy love can make somebody feel. And just like Kill the Lights, which we discussed in the Circus episode a few weeks back, this song has an animated music video, which is inspired by Studio 54, which we'll be hearing a lot more about later, and the 1970s disco heyday. In the music video, Gio's character goes on a hallucinatory journey. You can see where the concept came from. After smelling a flower that goes from a good trip to bad trip and vice versa constantly. So it's really cool. It's like very Saturday morning cartoons, art style with, you know, some really evil flowers. And it kind of depicts what it feels like to fall in love with somebody and then something bad happens and you break up and then you get back together again. And it's very cyclical. And I do think it's a really good music video, but weird to go for an animated music video choice for me here.
Yeah, I think it is another child of the pandemic where she knew that she shouldn't be leaving the house. We'll not say if she did or didn't. But she got her team to make her an animated music video, probably to save money and save the stress.
I guess, yeah. No, I actually think that's a really good point.
Okay, so we're only going to be covering the singles from the initial release of the album because that is a whole other barrel of fish. But the final single from the initial album is Levitating, which has a very confusing release. So initially, a remix of Levitating by American DJ icon, the Blessed Madonna.
Who? Who blessed her? Satan.
Featuring actual Madonna and Missy Elliott, was released on the 13th of August 2020 as the lead single from the remix album Club Future Nostalgia. Then a second remix featuring American rapper WB was released on the 1st of October 2020 in promotion of the bonus edition of Future Nostalgia and also the album's fifth single. So it's very confusing.
I'm confused. Peppermint's confused. We're all fucking confused.
Who's after Hallucinate?
Speaking about the song, Gio says, it's about having fun and meeting someone and falling in love and thinking, you've probably met me at the perfect time. Let's just go for it. It also became an unintentional TikTok sound that everyone will be familiar with. Unfortunately, as with all queens of pop, we do always have to collab with someone who's problematic.
Mm.
On the 25th of July 2021, DaBaby was performing at Rolling Loud, in which he said, if you didn't show up today with HIV, AIDS, or any of them deadly sexually transmitted diseases that will make you die in 2 to 3 weeks, then put your cell phone lighters up. Now, I know Gio's team said,
cut the cameras. Dead ass.
Cut the baby.
On the 27th of July, then, Gio took to her Instagram story to denounce the remarks.
Gio had her, like, Instagram live button pinned to her home screen at this era. She's literally like, something happens, let's go live.
Yeah, literally. Billboard later reported that while US radio audience impressions for all versions of the song combined was only down 1% for that week, the percentage of the song's radio play being the WB remix declined following his remarks, dropping from 71% to 59%.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad the general public was like, nah, we're not going to listen to this. Like, I feel like there was a really strong movement of let's cancel the baby. Which is great because, like, that comment is obviously extremely, extremely insensitive, incorrect, and just downright homophobic. And I don't really understand why somebody who I had never heard of before he actually teamed up with a gay icon is now making homophobic remarks.
I know, the less said about WB, the better. Speaking about the music video for this track, I think there are three different music videos.
Right.
So there's the solo music video produced by Japanese animation group Nosoluk, which has, again, an animation with an 80s, 90s sort of Japanese anime style, very reminiscent of Sailor Moon. It's clear that Jua is a Sailor Moon fan if she commissioned this.
It's really cool. Like, she even goes through her, like, magical girl transformation that Sailor Moon and the rest of the Sailor Scouts go through in that TV show. It's really cool. I was reading that Jua's team was really trying to push this song and make her go popular in Japan. And, like, it's such a good way to do it. You know, it feels authentic. She got, you know, a Japanese animation group to actually produce it. You know, so she's really honoring the celebration of these TV shows and the animation style. And I think that's so commendable for her to do.
We've also got the homophobic version, WB version, where she's in the great glass elevator with Charlie Ann, the Chocolate Factory, and people on rollerblades, which is sponsored by TikTok, or...
Yeah, there was like a TikTok competition, but I don't know what you won. Like, I don't know if you got to be a roller skater girl or what you got to be, but yeah, it's definitely sponsored by TikTok, which is ironic, then the song goes viral on TikTok later.
And then we've got the third music video, which is the Curse of Madonna, the Bless of Madonna version, which randomly features Tace from Drag Race UK, and Jua's in a grave with her now ex-boyfriend, son of Beverly Hills bombshell Yolanda, Anwar Hadid.
I like to have fun, but I don't play games.
Which is always a bad idea. Never put your current boyfriend in your music video.
Yeah, just it's a surefire way to get broken up with real quick.
Maybe there's going to be another breakup after we go through the snapped and flopped of the album.
Those are fighting words, Fee, and I think you should go first with a flopped from this album.
Okay, I'm just going to say it. The worst song on Future Nostalgia, normal version, is Good in Bed.
True.
And you know what? Every rose has its thorn, you know what I mean? Miley said it.
Yeah, but Miley didn't write it. She covered it. Yeah.
Jesus. Okay, so Good in Bed talks about Dua Lipa's relationship. More precisely, a toxic relationship, redeemed only by the partner's mutual sexual enjoyment. The song, to me, is kind of whiny, almost obnoxiously argumentative, with a really juvenile, repetitive chorus. I feel like the song sounds like you're trying to reach the word count on an essay by repeating the same thing over and over again. And I get that this is all on purpose. I don't think she was writing, oh my god, the gays are going to love this. This is so deep. It really sounds like it's inspired by Lily Allen's All Right Still to me. I feel like sometimes Jua really leans into being British and then sometimes she wants to be American. I don't know, but...
Well, listener of the pod, Declan, will probably be sending a shit in a bag to our house now after you've even associated Lily Allen with the flop section. I think he's the biggest Lily Allen fan I've ever met.
Well, I think, you know what? The song sounds like there's a rap verse missing. So maybe we can put Lily on this. Get Lily on the track. I think, in conclusion, compared to the triumphant feminist New Rules, it's disappointing to hear her song about making excuses for an endlessly disappointing man all because of that good pipe in the moonlight edition.
Yes, and speaking of endlessly disappointing, I really have to throw in for my flopped Not My Problem featuring JID.
Who? He needs to show his ID.
At the his door. Face card declined. Yeah, I don't know who this man is. It originally leaked as a solo song, which it should have been kept, from the Future Nostalgia sessions as part of the Moonlight edition of the album released in 2021. Then Jua enlisted rapper JID to add 20 seconds to the song. It would perhaps have been a better idea to have them going back and forth a little bit in the verses for me, in a similar manner to Exile by Taylor Swift and Bon Iver, that better explains the storyline that's taking place and the battling narrative that they are over each other, despite putting so much energy into fighting with each other, because they're constantly telling each other that they're not each other's problem. And I feel like if they had built it up a little bit more with that dueling chorus, it would have been better.
I think it really does sound similar to Good in Bed, where they're repeating for effect, like repeating right. A statement for effect, but actually it's grating.
Exactly, and you're right. For me, the biggest issue of the whole song is the beat, because it's super clunky. It sounds like someone opened GarageBand and just threw in all the stock sounds available at the same time. it's just really not to my palate and could have been her Jewels and Drugs. But thankfully, she enlisted only one man on this track. And if you're looking for a really good duo song with a lot of cool male features, I'd recommend listening to the much superior Un Día.
Now we've got literally the only two flops on the entire album out of the way. Let's talk about some legends. As we talked about before, the second single, Physical, cannot be missed in the snap section. It's got everything. It's got synth, techno, bass, visuals.
Pat, Laurie, Shelley, Aaliyah, Rose, Brian, Darren, and you.
A bridge. It's got a banging chorus. It's everything. It's unrelenting. Like, the song is spinning you round. I'm spinning, thinking about it. It almost feels like you're on a turntable with a kind of roller coaster rhythm to the song. To me, it's the perfect mixture of a gym, like, workout song and a night out hit. You could put the song in either kind of playlist and it's going to give you exactly what you want. The crescendo to the song hits and you just want to click back to the start of the song again. It's got the future by giving you the modern kind of electropop beats mixed with the nostalgia through the late and great Olivia Newton-John reference, perfectly encapsulating the album title in just one song. Also, as a gay person, I do have to mention the Laganja versus Trinity K. Bonet lip sync from All Stars 6, where Laganja said, "Give me this check." Well, she didn't even get a check. She did that for free.
My God, she deserved $100,000.
Oh, y'all wanted a twist, eh?
Oh.
Finally, just for me, this song gave such a flavour of what 2020 was supposed to be in the parallel universe. I remember when this came out, just thinking, oh my God, I can't wait to hear this in a club. Then the entire universe shifted. I think this was like the last sparkle of joy before everyone's plans got turned over. So I can always see it outside of the pandemic era, which I think you can't really do with the singles that come after it.
And speaking of a different parallel universe, I want one where Cole is released as a single from this album. God knows she released everything else. This is a Prince influenced track, which is really romantic, summery song about meeting someone who has got you losing all your cool. Which A, I'm such a sucker for a romantic song, and B, the beat of this song is so infectious and it's very like understated as well. It's not as strong as Physical, but it just cements itself underneath you and makes you feel really warm and fuzzy inside. Gia actually said her team played her the song and she instantly hated it, saying, "Please never play me this again." But then when they just gave her the instrumental, Gia was like, "Actually, this is really good with no words. I don't want to know what they wrote on it." But she went into the studio with Queen of Pop, Tuve Lu.
With extra special guest judge, Tuve Lu.
And just had fun exploring. Tove has a history of making incredible songs, by the way, and is back doing it again on her new album, Dirt Femme, which is sure to be a future snapped. I mean, the singles we've got so far are incredible and really do sound like they could be on Future Nostalgia. She has picked up the 80s influence sound that Dua really pulled back into the forefront here. And Cole is incredible. I would love to see Dua on Tove's album because when they work together, they clearly just make magic.
Speaking of people who work together well, and also talking about parallel universes, I'm going to talk about If It Ain't Me. Now, why is Normani not on the damn track? There is a full version, ready to go, ready to release, which has Normani featured, and not only just, oh, she's featured in a verse and they cut it out, like, they're both singing on the chorus as well. This is such a strange choice. I remember when the leak came out, I was like, this is gonna go off on Stan Twitter because everyone was still riding the big high of waiting for Normani to release music after Motivation, and Dua was at her peak. They added JID to a song that he wasn't on, but then they took Normani off. Like, there was room on the boat for both. Well, actually, Normani should have pushed him off the raft, but so. If It Ain't Me is a song in which Lipa talks about being afraid for her lover to move on with someone else. And I honestly believe it's one of her best songs of all time. And I think the version with Normani is even better. But
yeah, it does feel a bit, this one feels a bit empty in comparison for me. But only because I've already heard the Normani version, which is so good. Then I keep waiting for her like vocal riffs, which just adds so much to the song. I do think if they'd released If It Ain't Me featuring Normani, it could have went number one. I really do believe it.
Release If It Ain't Me, Normani's version, now. The song just builds so perfectly, and you can hear the helplessness in her voice of having it all, but having the greatest fear of being left at the apex of her happiness. I can't get over the bridge. Like, I will never get over the bridge. I'm under the bridge waiting for it. Her vocals are incredible for a fucking bonus track. Like, I can't get over it. Everything in the song is right. And it's the best song from that Moonlight edition and wasn't even considered as a single. She released way more songs, but two songs that we both consider to be high snaps, she just glances over. It's bizarre to me, but...
Like, she could have literally corrected the homophobia of DaBaby by just uploading this to Spotify and with she Normani, sat in silence. Like, with Normani.
Why would she not do that?
Don't know. Seems like she's in collaboration with the homophobes.
She's collaborating with Camila.
Not Camila. I feel like we're going to get a cease and desist from Walt Disney and Camila at this point. We're slagging on them both.
Bring it on. Speaking of lawsuits, we're going to go to our second ad break.
Granny, I got the virus. Wonderful. That's right, everyone. Jio's super spreader airline is available for bookings around the world. Masks, don't need them here. Social distancing, don't know her. For the jet setters who want to catch more than just a bargain, visit us now on jiosdiseases.com, where we show you the latest contagion hotspots for your next getaway. Let's levitate, girls.
Sounds like Jet 2 are shaking and currently firing Jess Glynn as we speak, but speaking of red, let's go to the red carpet on the Snappies!
Woo!
Now we're here at our final Snappies of the season. I'm gonna head over to Paul with the cringiest line.
Okay, so... for me, it's gotta be the line, we're not meant to be like sleeping and cocaine from We're Good. Like, okay, girl, where'd that come from? I'm just like, it's a very strange, weird metaphor to have. It's like, okay, sleeping on cocaine, not friends.
I will not accept any slander of my lobster. Queen of the lobsters.
And now I'm right over to you, Pete, with the weirdest fact.
Okay, so a lot of the rollout could be considered a weird fact, but I'm going to go knock knock straight on the door of Club Future Nostalgia for the cover, which was like a mad Easter egg hunt when it was first released, with Easter eggs including people for sure saying that Normani's leg was on it, even though it was not, and even some people saying that the horse in the background was the Say Something horse from Kylie Minogue. But, of course, the biggest spill on the cover came from Madame X's Instagram herself. Madonna, the real Madonna, took a break from posting about how malaria drugs were a cure for COVID to completely leak the cover and all the features from Club Future Nostalgia before Jua even could breathe on Instagram Live.
Why could Jua not breathe? Did she get COVID again?
Stop. Now over to Paul for the best live performance.
Okay, I really was close to copping out and saying the full Studio 2054 performance, but can't talk about that yet. So what I will go to is the 2020 AMAs, the American Music Awards, where Jia performs Levitating at the Albert Hall in Britain, which doesn't really make that much sense, but that's cool. She, oh, not cool. Me getting more promo to Cole than Jia. But yeah, this performance is stunning. It's so visually appealing. There's like a beautiful full LED backdrop with like galaxies and all the starlights. And then at the very end of the song, Jua is like lifted up on like these wires and she's levitating like on strings and just posing in the air. It's so euphoric. Levitating is a really good song already. And I think this boosted it for me even further to like newer heights. No pun intended. It's so good. Definitely check it out. It's so visually stunning. We will post some on our socials of this. It's just a really, really strong performance of an era filled with strong performances. Right, Pete, get away from the gift shop. I see you've got some ugly merch.
Yeah, my pick for ugliest merch seems like it fell off the back of the van that was driving to Chromatica. And It's like a weird color scheme that is nothing to do with the color scheme of the era. Now, I would buy it if it was just the lobster.
Oh my god. You're promoting this lobster? Like, Miss Lobster is probably dead somewhere?
No, literally. Paul even calls me out on it. I was a We're Good hater, and then we watched the music video, and I literally can't stop listening to it the past couple of weeks. I'm thinking about that lobster. Like, it really changed my life, but it didn't change my life enough to buy this bag with, like, random text on it and, like, a pixelated rose and a bit of barbed wire and everything. Like, what is going on?
The barbed wire one is a bit of a threat to me.
And, like, why is the future and nostalgia written twice but on top of each other?
This tote bag looks familiar. A familiar tote bag. It's not good. Like, imagine Marina and Charlie if this happened. Like, Gaga doesn't even know who Joe is, so she's not concerned. But, like, it's just plagiarism at its finest. I don't know how she got away with this. Maybe nobody bought it. I don't know.
If you have the future nostalgia bag, please write in.
Yes, please do. And also, please beware, because lawyers will be coming to your door.
And finally, Paul will go to you for the last snappy of the night and of the season for best look.
And Gia pulls this one off. This is a very worthy last snappy, because it is the Versace look from the Levitating music video, where Gia dons her beautiful long black hair, sugar boo necklace, and a Versace Swarovski crystal mesh, and complete with Versace's iconic safety pins along the leg slit. It's iconic, and definitely what people would wear on a party on the moon, which actually is the name of an incredible Vanessa Hudgens song that you should also check out along to this music video. But Gia just giving body goals. Her makeup's right. Like, she's got, like, blue eyeliner and eyeshadow. It's just stunning to look at, and it's the only reason you should pick up this version of the music video. And then when Doobie enters the lift, you exit the video.
Emergency exit.
Emergency exit, please. Pull the cord.
And now, sadly, we're going to have to pull the emergency stop on the lift and get off when we're back in the studio.
And now we're back in the studio. Let's also take a visit to Club Future Nostalgia. We've kind of already teased this, but it's kind of a hot mess of a remix album released on the 28th of August 2020. Could be likened to Gia's version of the Omicron variant. It's more aggressive, it's dangerous, and no one asked for it.
I remember the hype for this was unreal, and then it really slopped out. Like,
but yeah, I thought this was going to be like new versions of the song with extra verses from iconic main pop girls like Madonna,
Gwen Stefani. Yeah. Normani's leg.
Like, I just want Normani's vocals on this track. But we did get two new songs, one, That Kind of Woman, and two, Love is Religion. Both incredible songs that should have been on the original release. They're both amazing. That Kind of Woman, specifically for me, could have been the perfect album closer, kind of continuing the theme of woman empowerment from Boys Will Be Boys, and making it an upbeat feminist celebration to end the album. The song Boys Will Be Boys I kind of do like, but I don't think it's the best closer. The album itself didn't chart in the UK.
Period. Oh my god, didn't chart at all.
But, like, Future Nostalgia was so big, and then the club version, no one bought.
But I do think that is the Bless of Madonna's fault for putting, like, car sirens and moving the tempo up and down on her little machine.
It's really not for me. I just feel like it's stream. Like, it doesn't feel like what you would listen to in, like, an 80s club. I don't know. Like, you know, it's, like, hyperpop gone wrong, just not for me. But in July of 2020, a fan did God's work and asked Gia for a side B of Future Nostalgia on Instagram, and she replied, "Don't worry, I got that and then some coming your way." And she lied severely that day. The Moonlight Edition was released on the 11th of February 2021, featuring five new songs, and includes her collabs with Miley Cyrus on Prisoner from Plastic Hearts, and Undea with J Balvin, as opposed to being a proper B-side that we were promised. There are just a wealth of incredible songs that leaked from this era that would have been so good to put on Spotify, including Better This Way. Better This Way, what a song!
No, I need a whole segment for Better This Way. Look that up on YouTube now. Right now.
Better This Way is all three snapped. Like, it is one of the best songs of all time. It's so infectious. You need to illegally, the police can come and get me. Illegally download this song and put it on your Spotify. It's so good. And there's so many other good ones like Jealousy and Berlin Summer, which you can find on YouTube. What I did was just throw them in my Spotify on like a real side B. And if the FBI already wants to question me about it, Jura said she got side B. I had to get it myself. Like, why did she put out really strange collabs we already had heard and a few new songs? It's
I think it's so egregious to have Miley's single on your album on its third re-release.
No.
And to tell us that you don't, not only do you have side B, but you have more than what we're even asking for. Club Future Nostalgia starts the crumbling of the era, and then this, other than giving us If It Ain't Me, not Normani's version, I would never reach for this version.
It's just sad to me because I kind of want to park this and say, like, I think that Future Nostalgia is probably the best pop era in 5 years minimum. I think it's such an incredible rollout. I think all the songs are so good. The singles are amazing. What she was able to do in the pandemic to push forward an album all about dancing and being in the club is astounding. And how she dropped the ball by releasing a really bad remix album and then a kind of meh deluxe version essentially is astounding. It's almost impossible to flub it the way she flubbed it for me.
And she doesn't even stop there. There's even more releases, isn't there, Paul?
Yeah, so we're going to do a super quick speed round of the three additional singles that we get once she hits upload on the Moonlight Edition. So first of all, we've got Fever featuring Anjali, which I think is a really stupid choice for a single given it was released in the height of a global pandemic with the main symptom being having a fever. Now, it is actually a proper bop, especially the solo version that leaked. Now, I don't want the little Angelistas coming to get me because that could have been a cute addition to the Side B collection without needing a music video. It charted at number 79, yep, 79 in the UK, making it a really bad flop for her. But it did reach number one in France, which then I get it because, like, Anjali obviously is a French singer. Her verse is in French. I get that that would have been a good idea, but maybe it should have been an Anjali single featuring Dua Lipa and nothing here.
I think the music video is also really cute with them going on a night out and kind of all the escapades they get on the way back home. But I don't know if it's supposed to be queerbaiting or not, but it kind of feels it a wee bit.
Nothing good enough for a lot of lesbians about nowadays. You can't move for lesbians. It's wall-to-wall lesbians out there.
Really?
Oh, I'm baited and I'm queer. For sure, for sure. But it's cute. It's kind of like Gio showing Anjali, like, all the British inverted commas culture of, like, going to get, like, fish and chips and going to, like, a house party and all of that. It's cute. And what's also kind of cute is We're Good. Now, Pete, come on.
Justice for the Lobster. Actually, no, the Lobster got its justice. It was freed from the Titanic. The Lobster caused the iceberg to hit the Titanic. Because how dare they eat him? Justice for his family.
They ate his wife. They ate his wife in front of him.
I mean, there was three lobsters, so I don't know. Maybe one was his child.
Maybe they were polyamorous.
We don't know the lobster story, but the lobster went on to create a war fleet to destroy the next ship that eats lobsters. I could talk about that lobster all day.
Okay, well, I'm going to stop you because I have heard you talk about the lobster all day and can verify that you can.
What do you call that bit in The Amanda Show where it's like, bring on the lobsters or something?
Yes, yes. And they're like too big. Like
they come in the courtroom and they're like,
yes.
Court dismissed. Bring in the dancing lobsters.
That's you when we're in bed and we're brushing our teeth. When we're in the car, you're like talking about that lobster at all times. Well, for me, this felt like a separate single, kind of cute, but something like Part of Me for Katy Perry, where it's like maybe a transition to, you know, a new era. It doesn't really go anywhere, though, but it lands number 25 on the single UK charts, which is, you know, much better than Fever did. Then lastly, she releases Love Again, a song from the original Future Nostalgia. Like, I don't understand. Don't get why she would dip back in there. She is a clown in the music video and on the single art, and that's what she took us for by releasing another single from this damn main album.
Oh, I didn't know that we were inviting clowns.
It got number one. No. She wishes. It got number 51 on the UK singles charts, and for me, that's where it belonged. I think I intentionally didn't stream it out of principle because I'm like, really, girl? I don't know. And the music video is trying to be so, like, hyper-concept. Like, she's riding an invisible mechanical bull and there's an egg that's trying to be lassoed and broken into. I'm like, well, just give me a cute lobster.
All those choices and still no single for Cole. Like, what was she doing?
It's not okay.
As we mentioned before, there was a online live stream version of the concert called Studio 2054, which was broadcast on 4 live streams on the 27th of November 2020. Special guests included Angelique, Bad Bunny, the Blessed Madonna, Elton John, FK Twigs, Kylie Minogue, Miley Cyrus.
Another one, thank you.
9 million people tuned in to watch it, and it's hailed as the best live stream concert to have taken place in 2020. I don't know if there's a lot of competition there, but...
Remember they had that, like, Gaga one where she was like, let's save COVID. And I'm like, just do a Chromatica live stream. Why are we having, like, Millie Bobby Brown singing Imagine again? Or, like, I don't know. There's just...
No, it was not good. Elton John performance of I'm Still Standing from that is truly bizarre. Like...
No, please. You showed me that and I never was the same again.
Tickets were £15 each, and my co-host Paul did tune in. Really enjoyed the concert, and I'll pass over to him to tell us a little bit about it.
It was so good. You were working at the time, unfortunately, so I had to go ahead and watch it myself. It was like 8:30 p.m. She was on live. I couldn't be waiting. But she was so... It was so cool. It felt me and pop girl energy for me. For the first time, I was like, she is at the top of this industry. She really did all of that in the middle of a pandemic. Like, I heard that they rehearsed for 6 hours a day for over a month to get here. It cost like £1.5 million to produce. You know, it's high budget, high concept. She performs all the songs from Future Nostalgia. She ends it with Don't Start Now. The performance of her doing Fever with Anjali is honestly better than the main song. It's so strong. There are some kind of duds in there because of COVID, you know, like the Miley Cyrus and inverted commas performance is them on the set of the Prisoner music video, and it's not live vocals, it's just like, you know, they press play. But she does actually have Kylie Minogue there in person, and they sing Real Groove together, and the version that they do is on Spotify. Really good, we'll check it out. And Kylie sings Electricity, duo song with Silk City, which is again really good. It's just an amazing performance. I think, like, I personally used to love watching live performances back in the early 2010s with some iconic ones mentioned in the rest of the episodes in this season, but I feel like it's been a long time since I've wanted to watch live performances on TV. And we got, you know, in 2020, Juice Studio 2054 and Gaga and Ariana at the 2020 VMAs that really pushed live music back into the forefront of my mind and really have a distinct moment to them. I definitely would check it out if you can. I don't know if you can watch it on YouTube, but the set of performances are all really good, except for Cole, which is just her standing still and there's like people roller dancing around her. I'm like, no! Give us something better for Cole. She hates it, and she hates it.
Justice for Cole.
Justice for Cole.
So be cool. Don't be all, like, uncool.
Well, the actual Future Nostalgia Tour is still ongoing and isn't set to finish up until November 16th. So fair play to her. She said, let me give you a tour.
She was already jet-setting around the world anyway, so she was like, let me just perform.
Not seeing Taylor pass her in the airport.
No, okay. Why was she not on that CO2 emissions list? Like, I'm proud of her.
Because Taylor ate her up.
She ate up all the air as well.
Originally announced in December 2019, several tiers of VIP tickets were offered, including one where fans could battle Dua Lipa in a game of Dance Dance Revolution.
Is that true?
She stepped her dance game up after being rinsed by Stan Twitter for her attempts. A dance which she would later reclaim in the Don't Start Now encore performance once the tour actually happened. But unfortunately, this would be years in the making, as the tour was rescheduled 3 times in total, which must have been so heartbreaking for her, but obviously needed to happen. Finally, earlier this year, people got to witness the whole tour in stereo colour, with Singing in the Rain umbrella choreography, an homage to my favourite lobster, and Dua becoming the true centre of the universe, surrounded by stars, planets, and the iconic moon. I think, unfortunately for her, the hype after 3 years for anything would be lower, but I think that didn't stop her in trying to give a really incredible performance for all those people who waited with their ticket money held in the cloud. But I'm sure for her, it does sort of mar the experience of the album release, considering it will be 3 years this December since she announced it, and she's only just finishing it in November.
Yeah, I'm really proud of her for just going out and doing it and honoring what she said she was going to do anyway. And it probably is a good way for her to close out this era too, you know, to like really put a full stop at the very end of all of this. But I also am so gutted that we didn't get tickets. Like, I'm so, so sad. I mean, we didn't even know each other when the tickets were released, so that probably played into it. But like, it was a really, really strong performance based on the videos that I've seen on people's Instagrams or on YouTube. You know, it looks really fun. Her dancing really stepped up. She looks beautiful. She's on the peak of her career, and I really can't wait to see what she does next after all of this. And I definitely will be going to the DL3 tour whenever it comes around.
Just like before, we're gonna have to do a quick speed round because Dua does like to release singles. So coming after all those releases comes Cold Heart, which is created in lockdown and is her collab with Elton John, which would end up being a number one single and Elton's first number one single in 16 years. And really started this interpolation or sampling movement that is taking the world by storm. It's a cute song. I don't really think of it. I'm surprised it went number one. And I wish I had nicer album artwork, but I'm happy for her to be able to work with the people who inspired her era. I think that must be so gratifying as an artist.
Yeah, and I'm really glad it went number one, just because it was nice for her to have a number one from this era, even though it wasn't from her album. You know she wanted to release Future Nostalgia Post Moonlight Edition with this song on it, you know, just to like fully get it together.
Literally. And then we get a double hit of Sweetest Pie and Potion, showing that everyone wants to work with Dua, especially to launch a new era. From Megan Thee Stallion, who is dominating the rap game at the moment and used this song to launch her second album, to Calvin Harris, who used the collaboration to reignite the interest in his Funk Wave Bounces Volume 2. So everyone knows that she is the hot ticket right now. And now to look into the future, we need to think about her third studio album. So she's currently deep into making it. She said she's done a big chunk of writing. It's starting to take shape and I've got a lot of it recorded. It has a vision, it has a name, I think for now. It's just been fun experimenting. I'm always going to make pop music, but it has its own unique sound, which is exciting and something that feels like a movement from Future Nostalgia. It's still in baby form, so we'll see as it progresses. In all honesty, it's probably not what my fans want to hear, but I'm in no rush. And you know what? Take your time, girl, because you were releasing a lot of singles and a lot of performances. So as long as we get a good, iconic, clean, edited era, I'm fine with that.
Me too. We just want to take a bit of time to say thank you all so, so much for tuning in to this season of Snapped Pod. It really has meant a lot to both Pete and myself, and we really love interacting with everyone on social media, letting us know you're snapped and flopped, and all the support we have received from people that don't even know Pete or I. It's been so special to speak to y'all and get to know y'all a little bit better. Please don't forget, though, to cheekily rate us 5 stars on all podcast platforms.
Follow along on our socials at SnapPod for some exclusive content, and let us know what eras that you would love for us to cover in Season 2. We can't wait to show you what's coming next. I've been your host, Pete.
And I've been Paul.
See you soon.